The gospel today is being reshaped by culture, but it's leaving you empty. I want to help you get over that and get alive for God, full of the Holy Spirit, living the full faith life. I want to talk about that on the next More Faith, More Life podcast.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast, your voice of revival. I've got Zion Vieira with me again today. We're going to talk about basically the church.
Sure.
And you know, there's so much that people don't really know what's going on or how it's going on. That's why I wrote that book, My Absurd Religion, to try to reveal some secrets that they don't realize what's going on a lot of times. But you know, if you listen too much to me, you might think, doesn't this guy like anything about the church? And, but I love the church. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I love our church, and there's other churches I love too in the world, but there's so much has gone wrong and people don't realize it because they aren't behind the scenes, or like the Israelites did when Jesus is trying to change things, and people walked away with that thinking Jesus hates Jews.
Right.
You know, they still think that, or Judaism. You know, and of course not. But it's like, aren't we doing anything right? And basically, the answer was no. You're an open grave. You know, you're whitewashed people. You know, and so he's really trying to save them and rescue them out of something that the general population, they trusted the Pharisees, they trusted the priests. They thought they were fair and right and good and, you know, pure. And yet they were corrupt.
Right.
It was corrupt religion, not corrupt people. The people were following their leaders.
Sure.
And so it's very similar. And so that's why you hear me a lot, go back to the first century church, back to what was originally done. And, you know, it's a long time ago, so I don't know if we can know everything, but there's a lot of other writings and things and general ideas. And knowing that the first churches that were started, first congregations, as they like to call them in Israel, were Jewish, all Jewish. Their meetings were all Jewish. When it says they met together daily, there probably were very few non-Jews people there. Mm. What did they do? You know, and it says they ate and they learned teaching.
Right.
And anyway, sang songs, hymns, spiritual songs, things like that. But anyway, so I like to go back and have a phrase. The early church was not like ours. It was what I put this in a book. We're working on a new book. Unedited message. The message was unedited. Mm-hmm. They weren't trying to make it anything except what it was.
Right.
It is what it is. This is what Jesus said. This is what he taught. This is what Paul wrote. This is what Peter wrote. This is what John says, the people that were with Jesus. And it was unedited. And you don't get the feeling those early pioneers of the church were stressed about what people think.
Sure.
What do people think?
Yeah.
You don't get the idea that they have. I mean, all of us need this, probably all the pastors particularly, but need this to get the idea like, well, if I say that or do that, they're probably not going to come back.
Right.
And Jesus did just the opposite. He said, are you guys out of here too? You're going to leave also? Everybody's leaving me.
Yeah.
Are you going to leave me too? And they didn't. Mm-hmm. But the crowd went down from 5,000 to about 12. And Jesus kept going.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to remember, I like this phrase I coined for the book, that the gospel is to be like heaven's earthquake. It's an earthquake. Heaven's earthquake. So it's heaven, but it's quaking on the earth.
Right.
It's supposed to shake us up. It's supposed to get us convicted sometimes, realigned, look at what we're doing, what we're thinking. And I like it particularly if you get it right, that it's not just all this, well, some churches get it right, but they are a little overboard with, it's always morality. You're sinning. Sure. You're sinning all the time.
Your flesh. Yeah.
Yeah. And boy, are you, you better repent now. Yeah. And they pound it and find something. And really, it's the flip side. It's Jesus came so we could live.
Yeah.
Live.
So
how do we live? How do we live? And if we don't get how to live, then maybe you fall for it more easily. But the gospel, it's either so edited and watered down, it's an edited message today,
right,
or it feels like it's pounding the sin really hard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like there's a middle, like, well, I don't want an edited message, but I don't want to always just talking about how bad everybody is or how it's immoral and everybody's immoral and there's immorality everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like J.D. King, Pastor J.D. King, he tells great stories like, you know, how his church pounded on rock music.
They hated
Elvis, and he's going to bring down the world, you know, and it didn't do him any good.
Sure.
You know, so anyway, but so I think what we have today is people are going to church. Some churches, you know, they say we had 30,000 people attend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they get them in and get them out so quickly, but they're good at it.
Yeah.
And so what we have to do to maintain that is, it's not that there people are rejecting God. It's the message they're getting is a revised message, so the crowds can handle it, get them in and get them out and get a revised message or an edited message.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's just not working. I put it, you know, like it's trimmed back.
Sure.
It's trimmed.
Yeah.
It's not that it's totally no gospel or that they're bad people.
Yeah.
But in order to maintain and have the mentality of, well, I want, there's even churches that have, I don't know, let's say 100, 150 people, which most churches in America are. I used to say under 200, but now they're more like under 150, or sometimes they're 80, you know? And so the church, 80 of 100 people. And it might have a young pastor, might have an old pastor, but that temptation comes to trim back. Cause, you know, I only got 80 people or 100 people. I can't afford to lose anybody.
Sure.
I remember as a country preacher, when we had nobody starting, zero, we had zero people, and it grew. But, you know, if one family left, it made a hole because, you know, there was a country
church.
The
role missing there.
Yeah, and somebody's missing, and it's like, it was a big deal. And everybody talked about it, and everybody wanted to know why they left. And there was always the insinuation, maybe there's something wrong here.
Sure.
If they left, because there's such a suspicion of religion.
Right.
So maybe if they left, then maybe there's something wrong here. And it just, the whole system just collapses. So in order to fix that, pastors, leaders, young and old, all kinds, trim back so that doesn't happen. I don't want to lose anybody. Mm. I don't. And now the bigger church, I think in the 30,000, you could have a pretty good bunch leave and you would never know
just
it.
Notice,
they're sitting in the back anyway. But most church, that's rare. Those are the rare churches that we hear about all the time.
Mm.
Most of the great people and the good people out there, there's churches all over the place here. Just on the, you go down
Highway
Bannister,
down Chipman,
even down Bannister or whatever. Yep. People don't know that's Kent. It's close by our church.
Mm.
And there's a couple of churches, smaller ones, and then there's at least three within a mile.
Yeah.
And they're all small, you know, and good. They're doing a good job. But if somebody leaves their church, it's big. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yep.
And so churches don't mean to sometimes, but they trim back. Because it is true, if it's a small church and somebody leaves and everybody knows about it, it does put that in the air. Maybe I did something. What did I do wrong as a pastor? Maybe I did something wrong. Or did you do something? Maybe you did do something wrong. So anyway, I got Galatians 1:6 up today. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And that's probably where we are in America in most churches. Mm. And it's so slick and so close to it, to the target, that people miss it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are busy people. They don't have time to analyze everything
to
being said.
Yeah.
And go online. I was going to say a concordance. They say, what's that? It's a big, thick book now that
ChatGPT.
you go online. But anyway, don't have time to go and look at every sermon that they've heard and make sure it's accurate. Or go study the roots of Judaism or study, is this really what was taught in the first century? And is it really, and is it, how's it translate in the Greek or how's it translate in the Hebrew?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work. And that's our job, is to get it right. You know, my job and yours too. You're in around the ministry. Mm. Our job to get it right. And so what we're getting is, it, Paul would call it like, well, it's so trimmed back that it's really no gospel at all anymore.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite scriptures, that was from Galatians, but Paul writes to the, I think it's 2 Corinthians 11, where he says, you know, I'm so concerned for you that just like Eve was deceived by the serpent, that you will also be deceived from a pure and sincere gospel.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned it. There's, he mentioned too that there's no, it's no gospel at all too. Like there is, you know, there is no other gospel. There's no other spirit. There's no other Jesus. But they're preaching another gospel, another Jesus by another spirit. Mm. Imagine that
sounds
in his
similar.
Day.
Yeah,
yeah, but sounds it's not. Similar.
Yeah,
and a lot of times it's the motives behind it. Get it wrong, because if you have the right motives and the right heart, you're kind of going to see through it,
sure.
And you're certainly going to try your best to really bring the truth to people and to help people.
Yeah.
But imagine how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of sermons are preached every week that really it's the leaders preaching a gospel that benefits them, keeps people coming, pays the budget, has people happy, and people are going to leave saying, I got a great church, I got a good church, you know. I always used to say, yeah, but is it a God church? You know, but that's just a funny line. But anyway, a different gospel. And so it's not the deception today, I think, and I hope our listeners can get this. It's, you can go to a church where God's not rejected, but it's adjusted. It's adjusted.
Trend. Yeah. Wow.
I wrote down some things today like this. You go in and it's got worship is loud, surrender is silent. And
That's good.
Yeah, and I shook up everybody all over the world, because I would preach all over the world and use that song I Surrender All as an example, and I'd laugh. I just laugh, and they didn't like that part, but I'd laugh because I'm laughing at them too. I said, how many times, especially in older church, older line, when that sings older songs, I'd say, how many times have you sung I Surrender All? And then I'd look right at him and say, you liar. You didn't surrender one thing.
Yeah.
You liar. You got to quit lying in church. Well, they kind of laugh, but it's the truth.
They see the truth in it.
It's the truth. Yeah. I surrender all. And went. And so I told him, let's rewrite it and say, and we get a write-in, like a ballot.
Sure.
I'm not going to vote for that guy. I'll get that write-in. I surrender. I said, pick one thing. Yeah. Write down one thing you're going to surrender.
Sure.
That'd be great. All is too big of a thing. So anyway, worship is loud, surrender is silent. But we grow, we're trying to grow numerically, but I put we faint spiritually.
Yeah.
We have that faintness, that weakness. Weak spiritually would maybe be better, but we're growing numerically, and then we have these huge churches that kind of weigh down on the little guys.
Right.
In my other book in that, I wrote, I think it's in my absurdity, When the Kingdom Comes, I said, listen, get this. Every time you see a mega church, remember, that just created a mini church. People leave because they don't have the money. They don't have the programs. They don't have the pizzazz.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so, but do they have, the mini church might actually be accepting it's being mini, and maybe they're really trying to get the truth. They didn't trim back, but everybody wants to grow. So, I mean, that's good. But anyway, let's see. So the sermons, I wrote this down. The sermons like to lift up, but not uproot. And that's, you know, the Bible teaches us we need to uproot.
Yeah.
Uproot, tear down and uproot things. And that's probably, I remember when I first preached that uproot, tear down sermon. And it says before you get to the building up, you have to uproot stuff. It went really well. I mean, people got it all over the world with that, because I said, when we get saved, we get born again, we don't go through the uprooting anymore.
Right.
At least
right.
They did, and they obviously they did when everybody's Jewish, and the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the priests didn't like Jesus. They didn't like what he was trying to do, and you became, they called it a Christian. You know this, don't you?
I think the word we'll see.
The word Christian was not a compliment.
Yes.
It was meant to.
Yes.
What would you say?
Slander.
It was
like a mockery.
A mockery.
Right,
yeah. Christ like and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so, but it was picked up, and now it's, you know, so they did not, in the first century when they first became believers, they didn't call them Christians at first. Sure. But anyway, whatever they called them. But they, many of them paid a price. Mm. You know, there's a price to it. And you could be rejected from your family, you know, everything. And so now we have it, though. We don't have that. So we don't have any uprooting. So we get saved and born again, and then immediately then we have to start living the life and, and that. But we keep everything and try to get God to bless everything, all our baggage. Bless our baggage. That's a great
one. That's good,
Bless our baggage, Lord, and let me know that I'm okay the way I am. Yeah. And that's not the gospel, because the gospel is to uproot tear down, destroy, and then we build up.
Yeah.
And if we follow that pattern, and it's, and just nobody knows it, it's trimmed back.
Sure.
But if we could hear that at the very beginning, or we meet some people that lived it the very beginning and could teach it to us, we would grow.
You wouldn't waste time trying to bless your baggage.
Yes, yeah, and people don't grow very fast,
right?
You know, and so you don't have a lot of time because we're so slow. I think the Bible, you're so slow to learn, or something like that. So we're so slow to learn. We don't have time to spare. We need to do it. So anyway, and so I got this last one. The preacher likes to keep the peace and remove the truth.
Mm.
These are just facts.
Yeah,
and nobody says it. Well, maybe somebody, but not very many. And they're not going to say it in the church. I would. I would say it in our church. I'll say it in another church.
Yeah.
But so we have so much culture today. So the culture is powerful right now. Mm. It's somewhat spiritually charged, as you know. We've talked about it many times. We've got some good signs on campuses and high schools, and younger ones and older ones too are turning in a new way. Yeah. Bibles are being sold on some levels more than they were a few years ago. Some good signs. But the demonic side of culture is taking over. I sat down right here a few minutes before we started today, and I was looking for something. I can't remember if I went to YouTube or whatever.
Mm.
All of a sudden popped up this it looked like a school setting, and these kids are sitting around and they've all got, you know, when you were a kid, they give you little cymbals and class.
Yeah.
Music class is what it was. And they had little drums and they're playing their little drums. And I don't know where it came from. And so I'm thinking, oh, because I used to be a music teacher too.
Sure.
All that. And then guess what happened? Over here from the side comes almost naked belly dancer. Or no, it wasn't belly. It's not belly dancing. It's Hawaiian dancing, where the hips go back and forth like this.
Uh-huh.
And she had a big midriff and a slit up the side. You can kind of see her underwear. And here's these little kids. And this is somebody like 20 years old or something like that, age, not even a little kid. Comes out and is doing all that right in front of them. And they're playing their instrument. What is going on here? Well, you know what? The culture has taken over. Like somebody who in their right mind thinks that's proper.
Right.
But culture says it is. And so what's happened is now the gospel is being, churches are reshaping the gospel to fit.
Specific culture.
Fit the culture.
Right.
And it's acceptable because the culture is our culture. We're used to ourselves.
Right.
And that's God's culture is not our culture. It's a different culture. And when I've traveled all over the world, like I said, and I've gone to other countries and other churches, and they would tell me, you know, well, listen, you're in the toughest church. This is a tough church to get God to move in. And then they say, but, you know, that's just not our culture. So your church is your culture. Like, you do it your way because it's your culture, but we're not like that culture. And I would try to explain, wait a minute, there's only one culture here, the kingdom of God.
Yeah, right.
It's the same for everybody. We all have to give up things. I'll go to Mexico, and those people in Mexico, they're going to have to adjust some of their thinking, or Singapore or England. Mm. England was fun because they think we Americans are just too brash, not polite enough. And that could be true.
But our
preaching is, if you really get to, is odd to them a little bit, or awkward. Mm. Awkward.
Interesting.
Yeah. What did she say? I was trying to think of the lady. That what she said to me, I'll remember in a second, when we came up offering time, and this rich lady didn't think it was proper to talk about money, you know. She said, let's see, well, I forgot the word she used. She didn't say it's rude. I have to think about it. Didn't say it's crass, but she said, we don't talk about money here. Money is whatever she said, rude, crash, bad, you know.
Yeah.
It's
The root of all evil.
Yeah, you don't we don't do that here. It's not proper.
Sure.
Not proper. That's what she meant, but she used some other word. As soon as we end this broadcast, I'll think of it 100 times. Can I go back and
edit it in? Yeah.
But anyway, so there is another thing that is really bothers me, and that is, some of it's true, but we don't want to leave people there, is now we also have millions probably, but hundreds of thousands of sermons, that they approach everybody sitting in the pew or sitting in the chair. They made it to church, but they approach everybody like everybody's so fragile. Mm. And that's probably our culture too, because everybody's got hurt feelings and everybody's so angry and upset. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what you believe, they're upset, you know, about something. Mm. And so the leadership of churches start talking that culture, which is not God's culture. Right. Being fragile is not God.
Yeah, it's not more than a conqueror.
No, it's not be strong in the Lord.
Right.
Strength. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength, it's not there. It's. Mm. I know you're all so fragile, so I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to watch what I say, be very careful. Mm. And I don't like it. I don't like preachers who attempt, especially if I'm there listening, which I don't get to do so much, but I used to.
Sure.
Especially if I'm there listening, or I turn it on, you know, my phone or whatever, and they're talking to me like I'm a loser, like I'm weak, like I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm so hurt, and I'm just confused, and I'm just wandering through a wilderness, I'm wandering through life, so he's going to help me, or she's going to help me feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, it goes into like a therapy session,
right?
And we're talking about our feelings, and we're talking about how to be a better dad, how to be a better mom, which is good, but it's bigger than that. It's bigger than just improvement. Mm-hmm. It's not self-improvement, and it feels self-improvement. Yeah. It's helping us like, okay, I'm the preacher now. I want to help you change how you view yourself. Mm. And like, you know, I came in here thinking I'm not that great, but I'm going to go out of here thinking I'm okay. And not thinking you're so great, it could be the Holy Spirit confronting you and wants to make you better, really change you.
Yeah.
So that's my theme for today. I think that it's just the culture has overtaken church, and it's overtaken everything. You know, when it's not so bad now, but when we had, what was it, the culture, cancel culture.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd that come from? Well, it was cancel culture.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? All of a sudden, preachers are starting to be very careful what
they
say, because the cancel culture came into the cancel church or fire you or whatever. And it was, you know, it's getting better.
Sure.
People are starting to get fed up with that. But still, culture has taken over. And so where it looks like, just like Paul said, you know what? It's barely a gospel anymore.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to be rebellious, and they're not trying to be immoral, and they're not really trying to be bad. They're just trying to trim it back and adjust it. You know, they're adjusting it to the culture, and maybe the bottom line is doing it for themselves. Because it doesn't help people.
Yeah, right.
It's like I said, you know, we have loud worship and silent surrender. Mm. And so I think that's the message of today that people need to get.
Good.
You and I both are looking, I know, and others are looking for new leaders. I don't care what age.
Sure.
I don't really like to say, you know, that it's going to be a youth revival, or it's going to be the young people, or we got all these preachers coming up. Well, what are we going to do with the ones we have? They need to come up too.
Right.
Everybody needs to, no matter your age. We need to get a hold of the real gospel. Stop being so afraid. You've got to break the culture, and you've got to stop listening to people who are promoting culture in their sermons so strong.
Right.
And they got the crowds, they got the people, they got the popularity, and they got however many followers.
Yeah.
They got everything. Except the Spirit of God that changes you.
Mm.
So we don't need a gospel that makes us feel good about ourselves. Mm. It needs to feel God about ourselves.
Yeah,
really connect with God, and things are going to change. Yeah, there'll be stuff he'll call you to uproot and change, but that's okay.
Which is biblical. It's part
of
the
biblical
process.
It's part of the process.
Right.
And we need to follow Paul's process, where we grow and grow and grow in the Spirit. We grow in the faith.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's really my thing. I think there's... I'm looking ahead to the next few years wondering what other things are going to happen in the world that we never suspected are happening now. And I want everybody to be ready and satisfied and not afraid.
Yeah,
and that's
good.
God, what I think God wants to.
Yep.
Provided by God, but not dominated by fear, but by faith. So that's my speech. Go to SteveGrayMinistries.com and you can get more of this good stuff. Tell other people about this. Like us and tell and send a note to somebody and say, hey, this thing comes on. You ought to hear it because he's really getting to the root of what we need to do. And it's to save you and help you. And I'm not talking about going to heaven. It's to help rescue you out of the troubles right. of this life and make life as good as it can get, because that's what Jesus said, to have life more abundantly. Till next time. Bye-bye.